Hey, moin moin und herzlich willkommen aus Hamburg. Wir sind die Kirche im Upper Room, ein Gemeindegründungsprojekt im Herzen von Hamburg-Altona. Und das hier ist unser Podcast. Wie cool, dass du reinhörst. Unser Podcast ist noch total raw und unperfekt. Die Aufnahmen sind eben aus der Kirchengründungsfront und haben zurzeit auch gar nicht den Anspruch, perfekt zu sein. Dennoch glauben wir, sind sie voller Leben, Vision und Relevanz. Also viel Spaß beim Mithören und auf dem Laufenden bleiben in unserer Arbeit. Wir freuen uns einfach, dass du mit uns connecten möchtest. Und wir beten dafür, dass du durch den Input hier ermutigt, gestärkt und verändert wirst. Am meisten wünschen wir dir und uns aber echt eine heftige Begegnung mit Gott. Genau wie im Upper Room. Wenn du mehr von uns wissen willst, abonniere den Podcast und unseren Newsletter. Wir freuen uns, mit dir in Kontakt zu bleiben. Und jetzt viel Spaß bei der Message.
Alright. Alex, Joanna and Upper Room People, Upper Room Church. You know, right there in Germany right now, all you brethren, brothers and sisters that are watching right now, you have no idea how excited I am. It's such always an honor and a privilege, you know, for me to be part of what God is doing there in Germany, in Europe. You have no idea how happy, how honored, how I am so excited to see you, not only in virtual online, but to see you, all of you in person. Still, there's nothing that can replace when we see each other in person. Hugging one another, you know, fist bump, praying for one another. It's such always a good memories in the past. Every time you guys, especially Alex, bro, you know how much we love you here. You know how much our people been impacted by the words that you preach, by the team that you brought here. We are really looking forward for all of you coming down here in Tondo. And we do life together here. We do ministry together here. There's always been a power, a tremendous power in partnership. It is always like what the Bible said, you know, that when two or three gather together in His name, you know, Jesus is there in the midst of them. I do believe right now, though we are apart, though we are just doing this thing virtually, the anointing, the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit can never be limited by what is happening right now. So expect for a miracle today. Because I've been praying for this, asking the Holy Spirit what to preach to you. And then suddenly reminded me, why don't you speak to them the words that I spoke to you last week? And so, this is what I'm going to talk about. Leftover. Leftovers. You know, here in Tondo, here in Manila, Philippines, when we talk about leftover, you will have two things that will come into your mind. Either negative way, because it's just a leftover food, which for some people, that's very important to them, because even though it's that is leftover, they've still been using that, recooking, washing it, cooking it again, and eating the leftover food from the garbage, from the food of other people. But this time, I don't want you to have that mindset when I talk about leftover. This is not about leftover food in the garbage. This is not about the leftover food of other people. And then, others are getting, you know, the blessing from the leftover of other people. But this time, I will tell a miracle, real life miracle, happens, you know, 2,000 years ago. But I know it's an old story. But we know the testimonies are always powerful, whether it is old or it is brand new. But what we are going to experience and to expect today is not just there, you are not going to hear a miracle from the past, that I pray today you will have a miracles of your life today. The church will experience miracle. This is what I am believing right now. Bro, thank you. Before I start the message, thank you so much, bro, for inviting me again. You know, and guess what? After this, I got also the video. You know what? Your message going to be heard by hundreds of people here, or workers here. Your message, we're going to be heard here also, here in Tondo, in our church. Okay, talking about going back to leftover. Do you know that for me, when I'm going to define leftover, it's not a negative way, or it's not a something that because I'm done. This is my leftover, like a trash. But for me, leftover are a sign that everybody got all that they wanted to eat. Most people get more than they needed to eat. Everybody was blessed. Nobody went away empty. And there's still enough food or there's still enough good things to do it all over again. For me, that is leftover. And tonight or today, I don't know what time that you are watching this message, I know that there's going to be a powerful miracle in the story that I know you are already familiar with. I know that you're already, you know this story very much. I have no idea how many times I spoke about it, preach about it, but last time I asked the Lord, Lord, what word? And then He brought me to the story. I went a little bit deeper on it, and revelations upon revelations. And so I'm really excited, you know, about this story. Let me start with the verse in Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give, and only suffers want. To paraphrase that, you know, a person who always gives freely, get more. But a person who having a hard time to give, suffers more. What I'm going to talk about here is a miracle that you can relate, whether you're from Europe or from the Asia here in the Philippines. It's a miracle that everybody can relate because it's a miracle not coming from a bigger things, not coming from a dramatic or drastic something that a man can do, a big effort, but it's something coming from a very small act of faith or act of steps, which is, I believe, why the Holy Spirit wrote this down. You know, when Jesus bursts into the scene every time that He is coming into an area of the lives of the people, you will notice two things from Him that always got people's attention. Number one, the truth that He taught. And then number two, are the miracles He performed. You will know this, that the central truth of His teaching that fascinated people is every time He talked about kingdom. You know, the kingdom of God. They got the attention of every Jew because that is what the Jews are hungering for. The Israelites are hungering for, about the kingdom to come. But we know that this kingdom came in our hearts. But one thing very precise, very different about Jesus, that He's not just talking about the kingdom or preaching about the kingdom, but He always demonstrated it. I think the difference of Jesus and most of the preachers right now is most of the preachers are only good in explaining, in describing. But Jesus is demonstrating it. Every word that he preached, He demonstrated it. I think what the world needs now is not just another description of who Jesus is. But what the world needs now is a demonstration. A demonstration of practical love. A demonstration of miracle, of supernatural. So that people will see who our God is, where we put all our trust and believing. Before the time, actually, of Jesus, there were also few miracles happening in the Bible. You know the story in the Old Testament. There were miracles also taking place. But when Jesus came, there is an explosion of miracles to a point that Apostle John wrote it in the last chapter of his book. He said, he came up into a conclusion that if he will going to collect all the books in the world and start to write down all the things that Jesus did. You know what he said? He came up to a conclusion that even if he collected all the books in the world, still not enough. Not enough to write down all these miracles. And I do believe right now, it's still happening. Miracles still happen. That is why I'm really excited because some of you today, we're going to have this miracle. Upper Room, Pastor Alex, Joanna, you're going to have these miracles. You people right now who's been planted, not just positioned, but planted. Because the difference between position and planted, position in the place where you are right now can be movable anytime, can be moved anytime, anywhere. But if you are planted, I'm speaking to those people that are not just only positioned, but I'm speaking to those people right now that are planted, planted in that church, planted under the leadership of Pastor Alex. You are planted. This is a word from the Spirit. I am not just only positioning you, but planting you. And those who were planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Shall flourish. Amen? This story that I'm going to tell will answer some questions. Questions that deserve to be answered. Like this question. Number one, why did Jesus perform miracles? Number two, was there a meaning in a message behind the miracles? Number three, what do his miracles have to do with me? Or number four, does Jesus still perform miracles today? So my question, you will notice, it's all about miracle. And if you think that the Lord is not performing a miracle in your life right now, let me tell you, we have to fix our believing right now, because I can tell different miracles. But please don't define miracles in big or small. Define miracles as His goodness. Don't define miracles like a patient got healed from cancer, resurrection from the dead, something like that. You know, don't always expect that miracles can be like that as always. Sometimes miracles is when your husband became a totally different person, like when he became more loving. Maybe that's the miracle already that you need to see. Sometimes the miracles of becoming more loving, becoming more giving, or becoming more generous, or becoming more forgiving. Maybe that's the miracles that you are expecting to see. But of course, you know, I'll tell you different miracles happening right now here in Tondo. You know, but I'm going to lay down the foundation first. If you're asking who will be qualified for the miracle, or what are the requirements for the miracle, you know exactly what's the answer for this. As long as you are a believer, that's it. Or even sometimes you don't believe, because this sometimes, you know, it's about His performing. It's about His loving. It's about His presence. You know, because I've seen it in the Bible that there are some people that really don't believe in Him, still got His miracle. Remember the four men who carried the one paralytic friend? He destroyed the roof, put it down. That were the faith of the four friends, not the faith of the paralytic man. He doesn't also believe, but he received it. But what more? How much more if you believe? How much more? That's why Jesus said, to them that believe, all things are possible. So for now, right now, if you are a believer, you are candidate for miracles right now. If you can believe right now, you are candidate for miracles, whether it is in finances, whether it is in physical body, whether it is in your relationship, whether it is in your assignment, in your purpose, in building church, doing mission from other countries, whatever miracle that you're expecting right now, or maybe a healing for a sick body, it can happen right at this very moment while I am speaking. Because when I asked the Lord about it, He just told me straight in my heart that He will do His word. He will perform what He has been declaring right now. So I'm expecting for a miracle. Are you? Are you expecting for a miracle? Come on, we will stir up our believing together, you know, for this miracle. Every one of us, I believe, we possess that kind of things. We are candidate for the miracles that we need in our everyday life, especially for the expansion of the kingdom. We need miracle. Amen? Let me give you the takeaway right away before we go further. Because I think this is going to be the key or the entry point for more miracles coming. That when I bless others, I receive the greatest blessing. You know that already. That when you bless others, we are receiving the greater blessing. Let's start with point number one before we go to the story. Jesus will ask us for something we have. Again, Jesus will ask you for something that you have. You know what that means? The Lord will never get something from you or ask something from you that you don't have. We know the principles that you cannot give what you do not have. And so this is very important. Why? Because one thing about God, He's so fair. He's so justice that He will really ask for something that we have. And let me tell you, of all the miracles Jesus performed in the Bible, this one that I'm going to tell you may be most special of all. You know why? Because it is the only miracle that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John put all it in the record. Matthew saw it, heard it, he wrote it. Mark also, Luke also, especially John, he wrote it. These miracles that they saw it all together. Think about that. Of all the miracles that Jesus performed, as great as they were, the only miracle that every single gospel writer felt that they had to include this one. It means this need to be emphasized, need to be one of the most, you know, that all of them decided to, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to put it in the Bible, into the gospel. So it seems like there is much more in the story. And let me tell you, it is unique in a lot of ways because it is the only time Jesus ever asked for somebody's advice on what to do. Have you imagined that? Jesus asking for an advice on what to do with it? Of all the miracles Jesus performed, also this was one of the miracles seen by many. By at least 15,000 to 20,000 people saw it with their own eye, this miracle. And I have to admit that if I'm going to write a list of miracles that He did, I'm going to put this on the top of the list. Let us start the story. Are you ready for the word? Come on. John chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. John chapter 6, verse 1 up to 4. After Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, a large crowd was following Him. You know why they are following Him? Because they saw the sign that He was doing on the sick. Jesus went up to the mountain, and there He sat down with His disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. You know, that's very important to mention that there is a large crowd following Him. Because when we talk about large crowd in the Bible, or great multitudes, we are talking about 5,000 to 10,000 people. You know? There He sat down with His disciples. The Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. It tells us, Matthew tells us that it was in the evening when this miracle took place. It was around 5 to 6 p.m. The sun was about to set. So they were way out in the country. And when people are tired after following Him, like in the morning, afternoon, and then this evening is coming, you know what we are expecting? A crisis is brewing. The sun is setting, evening is coming, stomach is growling, and the story gets interesting. Why? Because 5,000 men, if you will include children and women, the scholars of the Bible said this, approximately around 20,000 people, 15 to 20,000 people more or less. That's a lot. And in verse 5 of chapter 6, lifting up His eyes, then seeing the large crowd was coming toward Him, Jesus said to Philip, look at this, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? Have you imagined Jesus is asking, where are we to buy bread? Asking Philip, where can we buy bread so that these people may eat? you know what? This really wasn't a question. Actually, it was a test. I believe every day these been questions to us by the Lord. And not actually a question, but a test. Right now, I felt this in my heart that this is the same question God is asking you right there where you are. Where are we going to buy the bread so that these people may eat? You know how did I know that this is a test? John wrote it down in verse 6. Look at this. John chapter 6, verse 6. He said this to test him. For he himself knew exactly what he would do. You know what? Most of the times when Bill are confronting us, most of the times when challenges, when questions, when people, you know, when shortcomings, when pandemic are confronting us and asking, now what you will do? Jesus is asking Philip, asking, what are you going to do with these expenses that is so big? What are we going to do with these 20,000 people? And then there is no provision. Jesus is asking, where are we going to buy bread? He is simply asking you the question, do you trust me or not? Jesus about to reveal the biggest problem that Philip and the rest of the disciples were facing. And you know what? The biggest problem was not the crowd didn't have enough food. The biggest problem was Philip didn't have enough faith and believing. And you will notice the question. He's not asking how are we going to feed these people. He's asking where. Where to get the bread. Not how are we going to get the bread. You know, sometimes when God is asking where to get it, it's simply as, where is your faith coming from? Where is your eyes looking upon? Where is your source? Where did you put your trust? In what source? In His source or in your source? It's simply actually not asking how are you going to make it? How are we going to find a strategy? How are we going to find a good place? It's not about how are we going to get more people? It's not about how, it's about where. It's like it's going to be him or them. It's going to be him or, I mean, the provider or the expenses, the blessing or the needs. It's always about really where to put our eyes, where to put our trust. Philip answered him on that question. 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. Verse 7 of chapter 6. Suddenly, Jesus asking, where are we going to buy the bread? You know what Philip did? He took out his calculator and started to reason, started to, you know, make how much for this. He said, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough. Again, Jesus did not ask how. He simply asked where. Here's another thing to remember. Wherever Jesus asks you for something, Jesus know it already that it can be done. And how it can be done, it's up to him. But Philip gets out his calculator, tried to figure out that it would take about 8 months actually. It would take about 8 months of salary for them to feed all these people. You know what? When needs confronting us, when challenges are confronting us, suddenly Philip has all these reasons. First of all, there was no place to buy that much food. Maybe he's in his mind, second, if there was a place to buy, we don't have the money. Maybe in his thoughts, third, if there was a place to buy it, and if we have the money to pay for it, we don't have enough time to prepare for it. Or fourth, even if there was enough time, everybody would only get a little bit of food, still not enough. Fifth, it's really impossible. After it's all about reason, questions, doubt. It's always about that. I remember all these things that we are seeing right now in the church. That we cannot even have, you know, the money to feed the people. We cannot even have a place, an air condition. We cannot even have a jeepney with all of these questions, how to minister, to serve with these people. We don't have all of it. What we do have are simple penny, a coin from the poorest of the poor people. But when after, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'll tell you the story later. You know why we have what we have right now? It's because of the simple miracle that the Lord did, and then suddenly it became so big. He has all the reason. Maybe many times we tried to figure out the reason why we cannot give to God from what He is asking for. Maybe sometimes if asking for money to seed, we're always telling to myself, I cannot even afford to pay mine. I cannot even afford to pay my debt or my bill. So how can I give? Going on a mission trip, I cannot do that. I've got wife, I've got children to look after. Maybe I might, some of you are thinking, maybe I might get eaten by a giant mosquito. Or maybe with the balot, I don't want to eat balot. Share my story with someone, share the gospel. I cannot share even my own story, and then I'm not sharing Jesus with anybody. I might mess it up. I am too shy. I don't know enough. And all of these reasons coming in our mind every time God is asking where. It's always about in us how. I am convinced that Jesus' heart was shattered. But what bothered Jesus was not the lack of food, but the lack of faith. You know what bothered Jesus actually right now? It's not about what is the size of our church, the members, or the effectivity of what we're doing. It's not about that. It's about our hearts for Him right now. Because a lack of food never stops God. But a lack of faith can stop Him. You know that in Matthew 13:58, and He did not do mighty works there because of their unbelief. Just think about what Philip had already seen. He already seen Jesus turn the water into wine. Heal a man's sick son. Give a paralytic man the ability to walk. Raise people from the dead, etc., etc. Just like us, we've already seen how the Lord performed miracles after miracles after miracles. And still, Philip didn't get it. Still, sometimes some of us still don't get it. When Jesus asked for bread, remember this. Oh, I love this. I think this is from the Holy Spirit. When Jesus asked for bread, we don't make the bread, we serve. We are the waiter, Jesus is the baker. Let me repeat that. When Jesus asked for bread, we don't make bread, we serve. We are the waiter, He is the baker. Don't try to figure out how to make bread. It's going to be God who will provide. It is His will, it is His bill. If it is His vision, then it is also His provision. Why? Because He's the baker. What He is asking is not how. What He is asking right now is where. Where are the people? Where are those leaders? Where are those people that are ready? One of the disciples, I'm reading now verse 8 and 9. One of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Him, "There is a boy here who has five bread and 2 fish. But what are they for so many?" So maybe Andrew, overhearing this conversation, finds a little boy who was brought his own dinner, but it is really enough for him, for at least, you know, for him, 2 fish, 5 loaves. But look at this. Even though all 4 gospels include this miracle, only Apostle John tells us about the little boy who gave the sack of lunch. Who gave his pack of lunch, actually. You know, and John emphasized this. You know why? This little boy is you and me. This little boy is you and me. Having a little bit from our hands. Having something. Maybe a little of your time, a little bit of your money, a little bit of your effort, your giftings, your talents. Maybe a little something that we have. But you know what? God is just waiting for that little something we have to put into His hands. Maybe right now, God is waiting really for that little something that we have, whatever it is, to put into His hands. And remember this. We know that this little boy gave it. This is funny because the fish are 2. The breads were five. If that boy were you and me, the easiest logical thing to do is to give the other one, the other fish, and then you keep the other one. Either you keep the 5 bread or you give the two to Jesus and then keep the three for yourself. To be fair, right? But this boy, why John emphasized it? Because he gave all. Because this little boy gave everything. Whatever it is that he have, he gave everything. The most important thing that I saw in this story with this little boy, maybe everybody can have that fish. Maybe everybody can make the bread on their own, for their own thing, for their own life. But it is the boy that is willing and available. The Bible said, if we are willing and available, we will eat the good of the land. You know what? Sometimes you can have more money, but you don't have enough faith. Sometimes you can have more things in this world, but the problem is it's not available. You're not available. One thing I think very powerful to these little boys, not only that he has two fish and five loaves, but the boy is available. The boy is willing. I think if we're going to make ourselves first available and willing, miracle will start to take place. Maybe we've got the money, but the boy got the faith. I think I'd rather have to have this faith than money. You know, us in Tondo, you know, we're catering until now the poorest of the poor in the world. They don't have the money, but you have no idea right now. I mean, these things, their lives are being transformed. The church are growing. Miracle after miracle. We saw it with our own eye. We are now catering more people. Now we have the feeding not only on Saturday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Every day feeding for 500 kids, for 500 people. Before it was only once a week, but now it's every day. And more people getting the healing, more people. How all this thing happening? Just making ourselves available. Making ourselves like willing to be used for such a time as this. Because I believe that Jesus will use what you give him. Again, Jesus will use what you give him. Let us read John chapter 6, verse 10 to 11. Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now here's the problem. Because when Jesus said to his disciple, have the people to sit down. And look at this. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus then took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish as much as they wanted. You know what happened? When Jesus commanded the disciples to let the people sit down, that's what we called responsibility. Now it's their responsibility to feed these people. Actually, in other account, the disciples said to Jesus, why, it's too late at night, let's send them home. But Jesus, you know, the heart of Jesus, no? We will take this responsibility. Have the people to sit down. You know what? A lot of people right now are afraid for this thing, actually. Not for expenses, but for responsibility. And I believe this is the first thing for you to experience miracles, is to be responsible. Be responsible in your time. Be responsible in your giftings and talents. Be responsible to your family. Be responsible to yourself. You need to be responsible because sometimes we are the best Bible people ever read. Because I do believe that we need to be a walkie-talkie. I mean, we walk our talk. Being responsible is one of the most, I think, very needed for a miracle. And you know what happened? Jesus told to his disciples, tell the people to sit down. And then all the people sat down. And you know what happened? I love this. Jesus took this bread in his hand. My question, where this bread became many, turned into 1,000, when it is in his hand? Of course not, because if he's holding the fishes and the bread and then it turns out so many, he will be piled up with all this bread and then buried by the bread and fishes. So it's not in his hand. You know where? After he broke the bread, giving thanks. It's all a pictures, you know, of what Jesus always doing. You know, I do believe that there is always a blessing sometimes in the breaking. So when Jesus broke it and given thanks, there's a blessing coming. And you know what happened? After that, the Bible said, he distributed it. So maybe after this, he gave it to the disciples, and then the disciples, after what God blessed what he will use, he give it to the hands of the disciples, and then the hands of the disciples now, in their hands, in your hands right now, it's up to you. Are you going to distribute it or not? Are you going to release it or not? You know where the miracle will take place? Not actually in his hand. It's done with that. It's already been blessed. Now he is passing now the miracles into your hands. And now it's up to us how this will manifest. What happened? Then the disciples start to distribute. The disciples start to release. And after they started to release it one by one, suddenly the miracles happened. And they fed 5,000. You know what happened? All of them fed. Bloated. I mean, done. And we, you know the story, that they have another 12. The word basket in the Hebrew, in the Greek, coffin. I mean, as big as that. 12 basket left over. Let me ask you a question. Brothers and sisters watching right now, they're in Germany. Let me ask you a simple question. Do you think God can perform miracle without the boy? Without the lunch of the boy? Without 2 fish and 5 loaves? Do you think God can perform the miracle? Of course. Why? He did that already in the Old Testament. When manna, when bread from heaven are coming down. When quail, these small birds, are coming down. So bread and meat. So he performed that without little boy. But why right now he needs to have a little boy like you and me? You know what? First, in the Old Testament, he need to prove himself that he is a good God. But in the New Testament now, he wants to prove to us, through us, that you need to prove yourself to him. You know, that you believe, that you trust, that this miracle can perform into your hands. God doesn't need to prove himself now. He proved it in the Old Testament. Right now, we need to prove it. Right now, we need to convince not him, ourselves. Right now, as we release it into our hands, our time, our money, our effort, our passion, our worship, our love, our prayer, our fasting, as we release it into our hands, what God bless, what God use, you will see in front of your own eyes the miracles right now happening. Hallelujah. So whatever it is that is in your hand, why is it 2 fish and 5 loaves? Because God wants to use those little things, because he will get much more glory. Not in bigger things, not in the strength of yours, but he will get the glory in small things. So whatever things that you're asking right now, whatever things that you are believing right now, he can even use those small things in your hearts. Small dreams, small hopes, small money, small time, small you. If that's your thought, that I'm small, I'm not big enough, I'm not good enough, it's okay. The Lord can use that small size of a mustard seed, that slingshot of the little boy that slew the giant, you know, that jawbone of the donkey, those small things, those baby steps can perform a miracle. Right now, I pray for the miracle to take place. It's going to be a year, this December of your month, will be a year of miracle. Expect for a miracle right now. Expect for a miracle. This coming month, this December, will be a miracle month for you. I'm hearing a word right now that there will be a performance. There will be an elevations. But you're not actually the one doing it. You're not actually performing it, but it is going to be him who will perform. Let me pray right now. Lord, in Jesus' name, I speak and I declare and release this miracle to take place in each one that are watching right now. As they distribute, as they release something in their hands, don't be afraid to release what is in your hand. The Lord is asking right now, release it to me, and I, as you release and distribute, I'll multiply. I'll make it big. I'll make it more. I speak right now in the name of your Son, Jesus. Let this miracle takes place in every heart, in every people, in every places that you will be assigned, that you will be planted. In that place that you were planted, I will perform miracles, says the Lord. And I pray today, receive your miracle. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen and amen. Thank you very much and hope to see you soon in person. God bless you. Love you, bro. God bless you.
Wir hoffen, du hast eine gute Zeit mit uns gehabt. Danke, dass du dabei warst. Bisher hat die Kirche im Upper Room noch keine öffentlichen Gottesdienste. Wir halten dich auf dem Laufenden, sobald sich das ändert. Wenn du in dieser Phase mit uns Kontakt aufnehmen willst, schreib uns gerne eine E-Mail an kircheimupperroom@gmail.com oder antworte auf unseren Newsletter. Wir freuen uns total, von dir zu hören. Hey, und jetzt sei gesegnet für das, was als nächstes für dich kommt heute. Denk dran, der Herr ist für dich, er liebt dich und er ist dir zugewandt. Bis zum nächsten Mal.